You mentioned angiogenesis, and I'm curious what your take is in terms of the whole evolving bevacizumab story. It kind of seems like it's going in a direction that maybe we didn't expect in terms of what seems to be synergy with chemotherapy. You know, at this point, what's your take on all this?
I think the field is young. It reminds me a little bit, and I'll get a more specific answer in a second, but it reminds me a little bit of the very early days of adjuvant chemotherapy of breast cancer, where there were small trials, and there were a few of them, and we asked ourselves questions like, how come chemotherapy works in 4 to 9 positive nodes, but doesn't work in 10 or more, and doesn't work in 1 to 3? And do you remember those days
when
we had little micro dissections of the data, and people came up with hypotheses and whatever? And the fact of the matter is, these were largely statistical artifacts in those days, and as we got larger, better drugs, better regimens, larger trials, a lot of that sorted out. I think that it's not quite the same, but with bevacizumab, the fact is that we don't have that many clinical studies and that much clinical experience yet, and that some of our issues and concerns are going to sort out really over time. I think it is logical and reasonable to me that an anti-angiogenesis therapy should work with a cytotoxic therapy, and I think it ties together very closely with the notion of self-seeding in my own mind. I can't help but be biased toward my own theory, is that the cancer is growing for two reasons. One, it's spreading to distant sites and to itself, and then once it spreads to distant sites and to itself, then the cells have to divide. If the cells went to an organ or went back to the breast itself, let's say, for breast cancer, and couldn't attract a blood vessel, it's not going to divide very many times, and it's not going to add very much to the growth of the tumor. Similarly, if it does go to that site, it's going to have to also divide by mechanisms controlling cell division. So that by attacking cell division, which is what chemotherapy largely does, and by attacking angiogenesis, we're attacking two components of the three-part model of self-seeding. The actual, not the movement of the cell to another site, but its ability to be nurtured by the environment there, and cell division. Now, what we have to do is we have to attack the other two processes that are in this, which is the mobility of the cell itself, and also its probability of undergoing spontaneous cell death or apoptosis or autophagy or other processes of cell death. In other words, we had a very simple model of cancer not too long ago. Cancers are bad because they divide too much. And now we have a much more sophisticated model involving processes such as mobility and angiogenesis and mitosis and apoptosis and absence of senescence and other characteristics that have been defined. But all of these have molecular determinants that, with the proper experiments, can be measured and can be specified. We can find the genes responsible for each of these components of the cancer process, and as we find them, we'll be able to develop interventions. So the notion of just poisoning cell division, which is what chemotherapy does, and attacking just one aspect of angiogenesis, which is the VEGF loop, is going to get much more sophisticated very, very quickly as we define other components of angiogenesis, components of cell mobility. What are the determinants? We only have one specific determinant of cell division, HER2, for example, that we attack right now. What are the specific determinants of cell division that can be attacked? And all of this is going to start to come together. I think an overarching theory, however, that pulls it all together could potentially be useful.
Which would be?
Self-seeding.
Wow. I have to start reading Nature Medicine more frequently.